Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know? Due to the original Pokemon game's massive appeal, along with a lack of internet, many schoolyard rumors spread by word of mouth into the mainstream. Many of these rumors focused on how to find and catch rare Pokemon. For instance, players wondered if they could somehow get all three starting Pokemon. Just outside of Pallet Town, there are inaccessible patches of tall grass behind ledges. Rumors began floating around that wild Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and Charmander could be found in these patches, but the player would need to find the hidden HM06. This HM would allegedly contain the move Jump, allowing players to pass the ledges. However, this was easily debunked. There were only 5 HMs in Red and Blue, and although the next generation of games had an HM06, it contained the move Whirlpool. By hacking the game to access the area, named Pallet Fields by some fans, it's revealed the grass has no Pokemon at all. A similar rumor spawned due to what looked like an open path behind Bill's house. Some claim this path led to a secret garden where rare Pokemon could be caught. According to some, the area could be reached if players got all three evolutions of Eevee and presented them to Bill. This rumor was false, and hacking reveals the path doesn't actually lead anywhere. There were other rumors linked to the game's NPCs. Some claimed that if players named any water-type Pokemon a curse word, Misty would slap the player. Similarly, there were claims that if players named their rock Pokemon a profanity, Brock would attack them. These rumors stem from the two characters' importance in the Pokemon anime. However, the anime didn't release until after the first games came out. Before this, the characters had little significance outside of their gym leader status. Another rumor said that if the player beat the Elite Four 100 times in a row, something special would happen. The most common rumor stated that Professor Oak's dialogue would change, and he'll tell the player to go on without him so he can console your rival. This would let players explore the Hall of Fame on their own. Others claim this would trigger a battle against Professor Oak. Although the rumors are false, there is data for a battle against Oak in the game's code. One rumor, though, persisted throughout the franchise's history. Even today, many Pokemon fans think the chance of catching a Pokemon increases when pressing or holding buttons. There are multiple versions of this rumor, each citing a different button or combination of buttons that need to be pressed or held, such as tapping A or holding down and B after a Pokeball is thrown. With the release of Diamond and Pearl for the DS, this rumor evolved once again. Players claimed they could tilt the odds in their favor by shouting "Gotcha" into the DS's microphone as a Pokemon is about to be caught. Some players also believed that snapping their fingers or saying "snap" or "snap out of it" into the mic when a Pokemon is confused would help them snap out of its confusion. Likewise, they believed saying "wake up" when a Pokemon was asleep would help wake it up. These rumors likely came about due to other parts of the game utilizing the microphone. One common rumor is that the music for Lavender Town caused psychological damage to children. Supposedly, several children in Japan took their lives after hearing the music. This was apparently due to binaural beats that affected the way children think, resulting in psychological and physical harm, as well as suicidal tendencies. Some also stated the theme was altered after the game's initial release in Japan. This rumor likely stems from the Lavender Town music being creepy. Fact-checking the rumor using early internet was difficult, as translations of Japanese media in the West was scarce. There are also variations of this rumor, but all either lack evidence or have been outright debunked. One of the most persistent urban legends in Pokemon history was that Mew could be found in Red and Blue. In Vermilion City, near where the SSN is, a truck can be found parked on the docks. Possibly due to the truck's uniqueness, many players came to believe that not only could this truck be moved, but that Mew was hiding underneath it. Some claimed the truck could be moved using HM04, Strength. Others asserted that it had to be moved with a level 100 Machamp. or that a key card was required. Some rumors also stated it was necessary to set sail on the SS Han and later make it return. In actuality, there's no way to move the truck, and there's no way to obtain Mew in the game outside of official giveaways, trading, and glitches. The impact of this rumor led to it being referenced in actual Pokemon games. One enemy trainer in the quick battle mode of Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness, references finding Pokemon under a truck as a line of a song. And in the first remakes of Red and Blue, Fire Red and Leaf Green, a hidden lava cookie could be found near the truck. In the Switch remakes, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, a revive can be found once a day next to the truck as well. There were other less popular rumors about catching Mew. If the player registers all 150 available Pokemon in their Pokédex, not including Mew, they can go to the Game Freak room in the Celadon City Mansion to receive a certificate. Some believe this certificate could be traded in somehow for a Mew, or traded for keys to open the aforementioned truck and capture a Mew. Other rumors stated the Japanese game would straight up award the player a Mew instead of the certificate. Another even lesser known method said players could buy the Magikarp near Mount Moon, name it Mew, and leave it at the daycare until it's level 49. From there, Magikarp would evolve into a Mew at level 50. Clearly, all variations of these tales were false. While Mew was a real Pokemon, many rumors spread about entirely fake ones. Speaking of Magikarp, a somewhat persistent rumor said the move Splash had a 0.001% chance of landing a one-hit KO. However, Splash has no chance of hitting at all. Players were most likely mistaking the move for Struggle, which Magikarp can perform once Splash runs out of PP. In their April 1999 issue, Expert Gamer magazine shared a secret trick that could be performed in Red and Blue. The trick required players to trade a Dratini from a copy of Pokemon Red to a copy of Blue, and both copies needed a complete Pokédex of all 150 Pokemon. The player would then evolve Dratini into Dragonite before trading it back to Red. Then, by traveling to the lowest floor of the unknown dungeon near Mewtwo, and using a Firestone on the Dragonite, it would evolve into Yoshi from the Mario series. The secret trick, written by Jay Esther, was meant as an April Fool's prank, but that didn't stop some players from believing it. This led to further rumors that stated Yoshi could be caught using the missing number glitch. This was also false. Again, in April 1999, a Pokemon hoax was posted on Nintendo's official website. The site showed how to make Lickitung evolve into Luigi from the Super Mario franchise. Luigi was supposed to be given the 160th slot in the Pokédex and had moves Wrench, Cower, Mustache Slap, and Family Reunion, which would summon Mario and Yoshi. He was also given the exclusive Plumber typing. To pull off the evolution, players had to catch a Lickitung with an Ultra Ball and keep the Pokemon in their active party. The player would then have to go to where Snorlax was blocking the bridge in Vermilion City, turn their Game Boy upside down, and use a rare candy on Lickitung, evolving it into Luigi. Of course, this was another April Fool's prank. There was an entire series of fake Pokemon passed around the internet, usually with some incredibly difficult and convoluted method to acquire them. Dubbed Pokegods by fans, many of these monsters were complete fabrications, such as Trickit, the cricket Pokemon. According to the story, the player must make their way through Victory Road and defeat the Elite Four using only a team made up of Caterpie, Metapod, Butterfree, Weedle, Kakuna, and Beedrill. Upon their victory, Professor Oak would supposedly offer them the legendary Pokemon Trickit. This rumor was easy to debunk, as none of the listed Pokemon were capable of learning the HM moves required to make it through Victory Road. Other complete fabrications include the Pokemon Doomsay and its evolutions Doomsday, Millennium, Anthrax, and at least a dozen more prominent fakes. Other Pokegods were said to be evolutions of existing Pokemon, such as various additional forms of Eevee. Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise all supposedly had evolutions known as Sapisaur, Charcolt, and Rainer. These Pokemon, along with over a dozen others, could allegedly be acquired with the use of an item known as a Mist Stone. This stone was said to evolve any Pokemon in the game, but as you probably expect, the item never existed. Some Pokegods were evolutions of legendary Pokemon. Since the original games contained Mew and Mewtwo, many assumed there'd also be a Mew 3. When images from Pokemon the first movie were shown on Western websites, some mistakenly believed Armored Mewtwo was in fact a new Pokemon, the rumored Mew 3. These images were often untranslated or lacked context, which added to the rumors. Some were posted before the film was even announced in the United States. Of course, Mew 3 didn't appear in the film, but this didn't stop rumors from continuing. There were several claims that Mew 3 could be caught in the games, often by completing a near-impossible task, or perform actions that deleted the player's save data. Mew 3's prevalence continued past the original games. Some believed the reveal silhouette of Lucario was Mew 3, and others thought Mega Mewtwo Y was Mew 3 before it was shown to be a Mega Evolution. Urban legends about Mew 3 have led to the creation of several fan works, such as the ROM hack Pokemon Chaos Black. And although Mew 3 is a fake Pokemon, it's been referenced multiple times in official Pokemon media. The creature was name-dropped in Pokemon the first movie, where a scientist working on Mewtwo states, "Now we can start on Mew 3." Another instance can be seen in Chapter 25 of the Pokemon Pocket Monsters manga, where Red's Clefairy has its DNA mixed with Mewtwo's. The resulting creature calls itself Mew 3. Some fans added to the Mew 3 rumors, saying the Poke God Mew 4 also existed, but these rumors failed to catch on. Several of the Poke Gods were actually just new Pokemon coming from the upcoming second generation, something that was well known in Japan, but only rumored in the West. One of the most enduring Poke Gods was the so-called Pika Blue, a water-type evolution of Pikachu. Evidence of Pika Blue's existence in Red and Blue was taken from a mistranslated line of dialogue, where an NPC remarks to the player that the Raichu that was traded to them evolved. In actuality, the Pika Blue was just Marill, the second-generation water Pokémon. This rumor looped back around to the Pallet Fields rumors, where many alleged Pika Blue could be caught. Several more Gen 2 Pokémon were said to be catchable with incorrect names, such as Ho-Oh, Snubbull, and Togepi, among others. Several unused beta Pokémon were also said to be obtainable, such as Pikaflare. This Pokémon was based on fan art of a creature from the Gold and Silver Space World demo. The art was based on the unused Fire Starter that was later replaced with Cyndaquil, but since the fan art vaguely resembled Pikachu, fans assumed it was a fire variant of Pikachu. Of course, all these Pokémon couldn't be caught in the original games. Pokémon Yellow had a few rumors of its own, often revolving around Pikachu. Some fans believed that if they beat the Elite Four with only Pikachu in their party, the next time the Pokémon leveled up, it would learn Surf. This rumor almost certainly arose from the Surfing Pikachu minigame in Pokémon Yellow. The rumor may have also gotten momentum from the Surfing Pikachu Easter egg in Pokémon Stadium, which released 4 months after Yellow in America. Another rumor alleged that if the player's Pikachu was so happy that it loved them for a full 90 days straight, it evolved into a Raichu. Some also believe that if the player got the maximum score in the Surfing minigame, Pikachu would evolve. These were all false. Speaking of Pikachu, rumors also circulated around the Nintendo 64 Hey You Pikachu. The game used a microphone peripheral that let players talk to Pikachu directly. The game had a recognizable vocabulary of words that Pikachu would react to in various ways. The limitations of the technology weren't very well understood at the time, and people assumed that Pikachu could understand far more than what it actually could. Rumors began to circulate that saying Sega, Sony, or PlayStation into the game would make Pikachu angry, referencing the rivalry between Nintendo, Sega, and Sony. It's become far easier to data mine games in recent years, and as a result, evidence has been found to debunk these claims. The game has a library of recognizable words listed within its data, and this library contains no references to rival game companies. Some speculate that these rumors may come from the game misinterpreting the words Sega, Sony, or PlayStation as something that's within its library, which would prompt a reaction from Pikachu. Another N64 Pokemon game that attracted the rumor mill was Pokemon Snap. The game has two endings, one for beating the game, then another after obtaining Mew. However, there were rumors of a third ending if the player beat all the challenge scores after obtaining Mew. This rumor was easily debunked by just beating all the challenge scores. Although the first generation of Pokemon games had the most rumors surrounding it, later games had their fair share. When it came to Pokemon Gold and Silver, many rumors popped up about the mythical Pokemon Celebi. Rumors spread that Celebi could be found near the Ilex Forest Shrine, and that if players brought the Rainbow Wing and Silver Wing, Celebi would appear. This rumor was recently commented on by Game Freak staff, who at the time were very confused by the rumor. The team never attributed any significance to the shrine. While nobody at Game Freak explicitly remembers why the shrine was put there, Celebi's designer, Hironobu Yoshida, had a theory. During this era at Game Freak, designers would use tiles from certain objects to add details and accents to others. The shrine itself is clearly made up from parts of a signpost and some roof tiles, and may have been put there just to make the area look nicer. Despite Game Freak's initial confusion, the team seemed to have referenced the rumor in the Pokémon Celebi event at Pokémon Crystal, which released a year later. There were other rumored ways of getting a Celebi, such as the Unown method. The Unown are Pokémon that come in various shapes, with each shape corresponding to a letter in the Latin alphabet. Because of this, people believe spelling out messages with the Unown could unlock things within the games. Fans believe that catching all 28 Unown, spelling out Celebi in their party, and using Cut on the Forest Shrine would make Celebi appear. Another rumor said that collecting every Pokémon besides Celebi and Mew would grant the player a GS Ball, which they could use to catch Celebi. These rumors were easily debunked by completing the described tasks. Another Pokémon associated with the second-gen games is the shiny Gyarados found in the Lake of Rage. Knowledge or understanding of shiny Pokémon at the time wasn't widespread, which led to rumors of other colored Gyarados. Some rumors told of a gold Gyarados that could be caught by surfing to various places in the game. Although false, the rumor may have been inspired by Magikarp's shiny palette, which is gold. There was also a long-running rumor about Shuckle in Pokémon Gold and Silver. If Shuckle is given a berry to hold, there's a chance the berry will change into another item called Berry Juice. However, many players claim that having Shuckle continue to hold Berry Juice long enough would change it into a rare candy. The rumor continued to persist even after the reveal of the DS remakes Heart and Gold and Soul Silver in 2009. The rumor was ultimately debunked by data miners who analyzed the original games' code and found no reference to such a secret. Another common rumor was that Chansey's egg could fall off and become a Togepi. This seems to be based on nothing more than Togepi being egg-shaped and Chansey having an egg. The second-gen games also had a slew of other minor false rumors, such as the existence of an HM08 and HM09, an event to catch Mew in Gold and Silver, and a rumor that Celebi could evolve. After the release of Pokémon Crystal, several Pokémon were also featured in Super Smash Bros. Melee. One of the Pokémon that appears from a Pokéball is Goldeen, but as in Smash 64, Goldeen simply flops around, dealing no damage. However, Goldeen's trophy in Melee states Goldeen's Horn Drill is so strong that it can KO an enemy with one strike if it connects. Fans mistook this as a hint that Goldeen could also use Horn Drill in Melee. Rumors spread that there was a tiny chance of Goldeen performing Horn Drill, which would instantly KO enemy players. However, data mining has turned up no evidence of this, and such an attack has never been seen publicly. By the early 2000s, internet speeds that allowed the sharing of images and short videos had become more common. This ease of access led to many hoaxers trying to pass off their own creations as legitimate Pokémon content on fan sites, often as an April Fool's gag. In April 2000, Pokémon Abode posted news of a 3D Pokémon game for the upcoming Dolphin system, which would later be named the GameCube. They posted three screenshots, which they were allegedly shown at the Tokyo Game Show by Nintendo. However, these screenshots were actually edited pre-release screenshots of the upcoming PS2 game Dark Cloud. A year later, in April 2001, Pokémon Abode posted news on Pokémon for the Game Boy Advance. Nintendo had apparently revealed three new GBA games at the Tokyo Game Show titled Pokémon Earth, Wind, and Fire. A GameCube game that links to them, called Pokémon Unite, was also said to be there, and would be an online RPG similar to Phantasy Star Online. Each game had 37 Pokémon, three of which were shown, and new dual Pokémon, which were essentially fusions. However, this was another April Fool's gag by the site. In April 2002, other sites tried their hands at fake reveals. Pokemasters.com posted three Pokémon that supposedly came from Japan's Korokoro magazine. The Pokémon were a panda that resembled a Nursering, a hammerhead shark, and a rock creature. Later in November 2002, fake Pokémon fan art was passed off as legitimate leaks around early message boards and fan sites. The art speculated on what Ruby and Sapphire's starters might evolve into, but was passed off as real. After the release of Ruby and Sapphire, players began spreading rumors about the Space Center in Mos Deep City. Supposedly, when the number of rocket launches rose to a specific number, usually 100, players could board the rocket and ride it into space. Various versions of this rumor said that players would either go out into space or land on the moon, and usually had the option to catch either Jirachi or Deoxys or both. Although this rumor was fake, when Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire released, players could fly into space on Rayquaza's back, which led to a battle against Deoxys. It's possible this sequence was inspired by the rumors for the original Ruby and Sapphire. There were also rumors about Latias and Latios. Some believed they live atop the Battle Tower, and that if players got enough wins, they could go there and catch the duo, which were often said to be level 100. In April 2005, a Pokémon hoax fooled many thanks to its impressive art. The fansite PokemonFrance.com posted a magazine scan showing a new DS version of Hey You Pikachu. The scan showed a never-before-seen Pokémon called Korichu, alongside existing monsters. Of course, this was an April Fool's, and the site later admitted it was a joke. By this point, Nintendo had officially announced Pokémon Diamond and Pearl. The internet became even more mainstream, and speeds had improved. This made sharing media a lot more efficient, and resulted in a slew of online rumors and fake leaks being posted for Diamond and Pearl. The first fake Pokémon for Gen 4 were posted in April 2005. Two Pokémon called Chisume and Uzukara were said to be featured in Diamond and Pearl, and were posted on many fan sites and tripod pages. They were believed to be real by many, but in hindsight were clearly fake. After fans learned the game would feature a pre-evolution of Sudowoodo, many believed a fake scan of Bonsly was real. However, it was simply a fan's prediction of what the Pokémon would look like. Another Pokémon believed to be in the upcoming games was Chance. This Pokémon, which was thought to be a pre-evolution of Chansey, was revealed via a magazine scan of a trading card. When a higher resolution image of the card was posted, it became clear the Pokémon was fake. Its only attack translates as April Fool. In April 2006, an episode of Bulba Garden's podcast, The Bulbacast, was released. The episode revealed 10 new Pokémon names found via trademark applications, including Porygon 3 and a possible evolution of Sudowoodo. The podcast also revealed the games would have a desert-inspired region and feature a true crossbreeding feature that would produce hybrid Pokémon. They even alleged the game would feature a trading card game within it. But of course, this was all an April Fool's joke. Starting in July 2006 and leading up to Diamond and Pearl's Japanese release in September, a surprising amount of fake Pokémon were spread online. This included fake magazine scans showing silhouettes of a new Deoxys form and an evolution of Lickitung. Both of these scans were shown to be fake, as the Japanese text around them don't even relate to the pictures. Later in July, a fake Korokoro screenshot of a Magmar evolution surfaced. Electivire had recently been revealed in Japan, and this fake was seemingly trying to pass as legitimate thanks to Magmar's association with Electabuzz. From here, three fake sets of starter Pokémon made the rounds. There was a popular rumor at the time that the game starters wouldn't be water, grass, and fire types, and instead would be fighting, psychic, and dark types. Fake Pokémon around this time tended to follow this theme, with each rumor feeding on the last. There was also a fake trading card of an electric Pokémon called Kissanda. However, the card was quickly found to be a hoax thanks to its incorrect copyright dates. Most other fake leaks were of new Pokémon in confirmed family lines. This included a pre-evolution of Lucario and an alleged final evolution of Turwig that's clearly the wrong size and style. There were also multiple fake evolutions of Piplup and Chimchar circulated by hoaxers before Diamond and Pearl's release.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
After the release of Pokémon Diamond and Pearl, the YouTube account PokeIance uploaded a video of an encounter with a legendary Pokémon named Purge. A few months later, the channel uploaded a second video that showed Bidoof evolving into Purge. These videos were well-made hoaxes for the time and garnered about 8 million views combined. This Pokemon was actually a sprite of the OZ-12 SMS Taurus from the game Super Robot Wars W. Since this game only released in Japan, Westerners had little knowledge of it, and were more likely to believe the videos. This wasn't the only hoax in 2007. In April, Maryland.com posted a box art and game details for a third Pokemon game to go along with Diamond and Pearl. The game was titled Pokemon Zircon and had several changes to the story. Giratina would have a larger role in the game, and players would encounter the Pokemon before battling the Elite Four. There was a new area called the Challenge Area, which had Pokemon XD-styled simulation fights. However, the next day, Maryland admitted the post was an April Fool's joke. The next month, Nintendo officially announced Pokemon Platinum, which led to a few more Pokemon fakes. The website PokeBeach reported that an alternate sky form to Shaymin would be in Platinum, and shortly after, a leak surfaced. However, the leak turned out to be fan art. The artist printed it to gloss paper, then photographed it, and posted it to 4chan. Fans assumed the art was legit, and spread it across the community. It eventually made its way onto popular Pokemon sites, which prompted them to come forward and confirm they faked the art. In April 2009, the Pallet Tribune podcast announced a new Rotom form had been leaked, and that people who called Pokemon USA would hear a message from Team Galactic. The team would ask the caller to state their Pokemon friend code, then ask what evil deeds callers would do if they were given one of the 100 Rotoms up for grabs. As you might expect, this was an April Fool's prank by the podcast. In January 2010, a new generation of Pokemon games was officially announced for the DS. From here until the game's release in September, a large amount of fake Pokemon were passed off as the real deal. In May, silhouettes of the starting Pokemon were posted by Nintendo, which led to a few fake starter Pokemon being spread. Several fans took the silhouettes and made Pokemon based on the shapes. One of the more popular pieces was posted on several sites as legit, likely because it was of a higher quality than most other fan art at the time. Another set of starters spread in May, likely because they were relatively convincing fakes. However, the text in the scans were very basic Japanese, which was a red flag. After the starters were officially revealed, several fans made fake evolutions of them. The most prominent of these was an Oshawott evolution from a fake scan. Not only did the fake leak have high-quality full art, it also showed a convincing screenshot of the Pokémon. However, the artist came forward admitting it was a fake Pokémon. This was followed by a series of alleged leaks from message boards like 2chan and 4chan, which were usually based on existing info. One leak had 6 Pokémon names and descriptions, including a warlike bipedal turtle and an angel Pokémon. Another fake leak teased starter evolutions, and another fake leak said Black and White would have an evolution of both Golduck and Jinx. Yet another leak showed a dozen names, including fake names for an evolution of P-Dove, a pre-evolution of Galvantula, and an evolution of Mincino. Another rumor told how the seasons would change in Black and White. The rumor said seasons cycled on a weekly schedule. However, the seasons changed month to month in the final game. The rumor also stated the game had a new attack called Seasonal Beam, which changed type based on the season. This was also false. A fake Korokoro scan of several known and unknown Pokémon began to spread in July 2010. Many fell for the hoax, partly because several Pokémon it featured had been officially shown off a week earlier. The image included a fake evolution of Chimecho, a fake Skull Pokémon, and a fake pre-evolution of Cofagrigus. Later in August, 2 fake screenshots popped up, which gained traction. People believed the Pokémon were real because Darumaka was confirmed as legit around the same time the screenshots surfaced. However, both screenshots turned out to be fakes circulated on 2chan. Shortly after this, another Korokoro scan was posted showing a mix of official and fan-made art that was taken at face value. The image contained a now infamous fake fish Pokémon called Giruja, as well as a fake silhouette of Deerling. A clue to the scan's fabrication was its inaccurate depictions of Alamomola and Pansage, which were based on a leaked image of an unfinished Pokémon toy. Descriptions of 4 new Pokémon leaked later in the month. The monsters were a water and psychic type dolphin, an ice and fighting type polar bear, an honor-based Pokémon, and a long-ear Pokémon. While Black and White did include a polar bear Pokémon, Beartick isn't fighting type at all. Whatever this rumor got right seems to have been a lucky guess. Shortly after this, several websites posted scans from the latest issue of Korokoro taken from blogs and boards. Although some of the media was legit, these sites accidentally included fake pieces of art showing a fake evolution of Woobat. This fan art was posted by the artist and then circulated on 2chan and was passed off as real. Just before the game's release, a fake Korokoro scan of Panseer and Panpour surfaced, along with fake screenshots of an Axew evolution. When the game finally hit shelves, both of these were shown to be false. Before the games were released in North America, eager players heard about an item in the Japanese game known as swimming goggles. Supposedly, when held by a water-type Pokémon, the goggles would increase some of the holder's stats by one stage. However, if the goggles were worn by any other type of Pokémon, they would fall asleep. This rumor caused a mild panic in the competitive fanbase, as such an item could potentially create an unbeatable strategy. When the game released in the West, no such item was to be found. The game has been heavily data mined since its release, and no evidence of the goggles exists. Rumors also arose about shiny versions of several legendary Pokémon, specifically that the Pokémon Zekrom, Reshiram, and Victini can be found in their shiny forms in black and white. Shiny sprites of these Pokémon can be found in the game's files, which led to some players believing they could be acquired somehow. No giveaways or in-game events took place, however, and while shiny Zekrom and Reshiram could be found starting in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, a shiny version of Victini has never appeared officially in a Pokémon game. The presence of their shiny sprites in black and white was just a failsafe to keep the games from crashing if someone hacked a shiny version. In January 2011, GamingUpdate.com reported that a new Pokémon game was in development for the Wii. While at CES, the website staff apparently met a Nintendo representative that mentioned a Wii title similar to Gale of Darkness, and speculated if it'd connect to Black and White. The site elaborated, saying the game would be a cross between Gale of Darkness and Battle Revolution. However, no such game was revealed. In April 2011, rumors surfaced about an actual remake of Gale of Darkness for the 3DS. That month, Dengeki Nintendo Magazine announced a new Pokémon game would be revealed in May, which hyped up the fanbase for a big reveal. A few days later, a reader of a 3DS blog sent in magazine scans announcing Gale of Darkness for 3DS. However, keen-eyed fans pointed out a few oddities in the scans. Some of the Japanese was unusually worded, and the 3DS model in the images was a pre-release model from E3. Immediately after, more images surfaced. The images showed a Pokémon Mystery Dungeon game focusing on Pokémon from Black and White. Again, fans pointed out that the Japanese in the scans was out of context, debunking the images. After Black and White had released, fans speculated on a potential Pokémon Gray version. Every generation of Pokémon up to this point had a third game release that combined aspects of the previous games and made improvements. However, in February, a Pokémon rep told Spanish outlet Meristation the generation would end with Black and White. But Nintendo registered PokemonGray.com a few months later. This seemed to confirm the game's existence to fans, but domain purchasing is sometimes done to protect an IP from exploitation. A month later, scans from Korokoro surfaced that teased a new form of Kyurem, which fans took as a hint towards Pokémon Gray. However, no Pokémon Gray was released. All rumors about Gray were put to rest when Nintendo announced Pokémon Black 2 and White 2 in January 2012. Years later, Black and White director Junichi Masuda explained why Game Freak never made Pokémon Gray. Masuda told Game Informer, "The concept of Black and White was kind of these opposing forces, a yin and yang kind of thing. If we went with Gray, it would have moved away from that concept. There was far less buzz around Black and White 2 than most Pokémon games." That said, they still had rumors. In mid-April 2012, a magazine scan showing a piece of art and game sprites for two Pokémon was passed around several fan sites. The Pokémon were a cactus owl named Saburo and a platypus-like Pokémon called Kawanoashi. Although the scan was promising, the artist that made it came forward, confirming it as fake. A few months later, another scan surfaced showing a new form of Victini. This form would be the Pokémon's stellar form, but as you might expect, the form was absent from Black and White 2 upon release. In January 2013, an anonymous source contacted GoNintendo.com with information on a title called Pokémon Rainbow. The game was apparently a love letter to the franchise, and would encompass the settings and Pokémon from the first four generations. As a 3DS game, it would have improved graphics with a dynamic camera, and battles apparently looked very different. The game's story would also take place at the same time as Pokémon Black and White 2. It'd have over 20 new Pokémon, including an Eeveelution called Draconian, and a pirate-themed rodent called Verbal. The game would also release alongside a dedicated Wii U app. When Pokémon X and Y were announced the same month, this rumor was essentially debunked. Curiously, it seems that Pokémon Sun and Moon's codename may have been Niji, but the game has no resemblance to the original rumor and is likely unrelated. After the announcement of Pokémon X and Y, artwork of a new Pokémon appeared online. Named Kaenchu, from the Japanese word Kaen meaning flame, it was supposedly a fire-type evolution of Pikachu. Images of Kaenchu quickly became popular on Japanese social media, being retweeted thousands of times and becoming the number 4 trend on Yahoo Japan. Shortly after this, the Pokémon was shown to be a prank from members of the Japanese message board 2chan. A A month later, a Korokoro scan made the rounds showing two new Pokémon, a bird and a worm. Although the art in the scan was convincing, the Japanese text was fairly poor, showing it was fake. Shortly after, another scan popped up of three new Pokémon, including two dinosaurs and a ghost. A few days later, more scans surfaced showing new Pokémon and the player characters. While the scans were generally easy to disprove thanks to the art, a full scan of the male player character fooled many. The scan was posted on several sites as a legitimate leak, but was ultimately shown to be fake. March 2013 saw a large amount of fakes. Early in the month, an image of Heracross and Pinsir pre-evolution circulated, but the creator of the image admitted it was fake. This was followed by a scan of two new Pokémon, as well as different form of Pikachu and an evolution of Farfetch'd. However, this scan had incorrect Japanese and was shown to be a forgery. Naturally, one fan created fake evolutions of X and Y starters. These were posted on several forums and social media. Another scan showed up shortly after, featuring a Jinx evolution called Rugiria. At the end of the month, an image leaked showing a trading card of Chespin's final form. However, this image was edited. The original showed a Teddy Ursa and an Ursaring. April 2013 started off with an obviously fake scan of a light-type Griffin Pokémon, followed by a fake evolution for Sableye, complete with inaccurate Japanese. A pre-evolved form of Drowsy was also posted on several blogs and social media as legit leak, but the image turned out to be a fake from 2chan. A few days later, another scan featuring an Absol evolution went viral on Reddit, but this also turned out to be fake. In June, a rumor popped up on 4chan from someone who apparently knew a marketing supervisor for Pokémon. The anonymous someone said X and Y would have a new flying-slash-fairy-type Pokémon called Elveny. They also said that Dunsparce, Mawile, Stantler, and Sableye would get new evolutions, and also gave a false description for Pangoro, a scalp evolution, and incorrectly said Clauncher would evolve twice. They also said the second gym leader was named Kale, and used fairy types. Shockingly, the rumor was entirely false. In July, concept art for a Fennekin and Chespin evolution was posted on several message boards. Although convincing, the designs were shown to be from DeviantArt, and seemed to be inspired by other fan Pokémon and Digimon. A popular scan showing an evolution of Skrelp leaked the same month. However, this was also shown to be fake. The weeks leading up to X and Y's launch were hectic and full of rumored Pokémon. One rumor alleged that the next issue of Korokoro would feature two new Pokémon. One of them would be based on a bag of potato chips, and the other a sushi roll. The rumor also said there'd be a second evolution besides Sylveon. Shortly after, PokeBeach.com posted a rumor from a quote, reliable source. The rumor said X and Y would have several new Pokémon, including a monster with tusks called Trusk, a ghost spider called Aparachnid, a porcupine and badger Pokémon, and a pre-evolution of Meowstic called Espeon. The rumor also stated that the Chansey, Dunsparce, Clefairy, and Togepi lines would change to fairy type. Although some details of this rumor turned out to be true, it was largely inaccurate. In September, scans from Korokoro spread across social media. They showed Heracross and Gengar Mega Evolutions, as well as the evolved starters. These were traced back to 2chan, however, and proven to be fake. This was followed by a few scans for a Mega Mewtwo X and a Mega Mew. Although Mega Mewtwo X appeared in X and Y, this design was fake, as was Mega Mew. Around the same time, images from a magazine showing a bug and flower Pokémon made the rounds on social media. They were followed by a Mega Banette silhouette, all of which were fake. Just 2 weeks before X and Y's release, images of a mink-based Pokémon popped up on 4chan. The art was consistent with both the title's promotional art and in-game graphics, and was largely considered genuine. However, an artist came forward the next day showing how they made the hoax. After X and Y's release, there were rumors of a Pokémon Z. In May 2015, many Pokémon fans misunderstood an update from the Japanese site Pokémon Line. Fans used inaccurate tools such as Google Translate to view the site, which caused the misunderstanding. Pokémon Line mentioned a rumor that Pokémon Z would be announced in an upcoming issue of Famitsu, but fans thought the site was confirming Pokémon Z's appearance in the magazine. When the next issue of Famitsu was published, there was no Pokémon Z. In January 2014, DualPixels.com reported a rumor about new games called Pokémon Plus and Minus. They would take place in a region based on Southeast Asia and focus on themes of tradition versus exploration. The story's villains would be a team of religious zealots who believe the protagonist's best friend is the reincarnation of a chosen one and want to sacrifice them to awaken the game's legendary Pokémon. The region's central mainland would function like an MMO, allowing players to trade and chat with each other worldwide. Several new Pokémon were also detailed. The starters would include a water-type humanoid with a jar on its head, a fire goat, and a plant-like creature with a leaf for a face. The new legendaries would be a lion with several faces and a many-armed ghost Pokémon. The rumor attracted a lot of attention when it was first published. However, the fact it was stated to be in development for the rumored Nintendo Fusion, a handheld and home console hybrid system, meant Plus and Minus were debunked as soon as the Nintendo Fusion was shown to be a hoax. On April 1st, 2014, Azuraland.com reported an announcement of Pokémon Black and White 3. Game Freak had apparently decided to go back to the Black and White games due to the underwhelming performance of Pokémon X and Y. The game was set to be released for the DS, not the 3DS, and since the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection service was planned to stop in May, the game would feature no online battles or trades. This, of course, was an April Fool's joke. In May 2014, Nintendo officially announced remakes for Pokémon Ruby and Sapphire. Shortly after, a magazine scan showing Groudon, Kyogre, and Rayquaza fusing into a single Pokémon showed up online. Around the same time, a scan showing Rayquaza fused with Palkia and Dialga from Gen 4 also popped up. These, of course, were fake, but were taken at face value by some fans. With a new game being announced, several artists drew up examples of Mega Evolutions for their favorite Pokémon. However, some of these evolutions were passed off as legitimate leaks. One prominent image showed a fake Mega Sceptile, and another showed a Mega form of Kling Klang. This second fake scan was a parody, however. The Japanese text, translated as, "I bet you can't even read two words in Japanese," and "Eat this bullshit up." On April 1st, 2015, Azuraland.com announced Pokémon Zero and Infinity with an accompanying teaser trailer. At the same time, PokeJungle.com announced Pokémon Temporal Diamond and Spatial Pearl, also with a teaser. These were, of course, April Fool's jokes. It wasn't until February 2016 that Pokémon Sun and Moon were announced, sparking more rumored Pokémon. In March, a collage showing 9 Pokémon was posted on message boards. The art apparently came from a 4chan thread that was deleted by the site's staff, which added to its legitimacy. These were followed by a sketch of 2 Pokémon, a moth, and what appeared to be a grass-type bird. Curiously, this grass bird surfaced months before Rowlet's reveal. Around the same time, a set of starter Pokémon were posted across fan sites and social media. The starters actually came from a Pixiv gallery and were posted before Sun and Moon were even announced. Another set of starters popped up in March. Korokoro scans had supposedly leaked early, showing a water lizard, grass goat, and fire bear, among other game details. There was another popular 4chan leak in March. One user said they'd seen many details of the game, including the entire decks. The person claimed the game's region was called Chirona, and they drew the region's decks from memory. As expected, it was highly inaccurate. In fact, every Pokémon shown before the game's starters reveal were fake. On March 30th, 2016, PokeJungle reported on supposed leaked images from a Pokémon Company presentation that had surfaced on Twitter. Among the slides was info on Pokémon Go and Pokémon Shuffle, as well as a new version of Pokémon Dash for mobile. A few days later, PokeJungle came clean, admitting they'd faked the presentation and screenshots of Dash themselves as an April Fool's. In late April, designs for 3 starter Pokémon popped up on 4chan. The designs were surprisingly close to the actual Sun and Moon starters, being a grass bird, a sea lion, and a fire cat. However, they were debunked when Sun and Moon's first trailer dropped. Shortly after the reveal, a Japanese artist drew evolutions for the starters. This art was taken out of context and passed off as a legit leak on social media. In June, a rumor emerged about the possibility of Sun and Moon giving Pokémon 5 move slots instead of 4. A member of Reddit noticed an E3 screenshot had 5 lines in the moves menu, suggesting 5 moves. However, the 5th line was for hold items. Another set of fake starter Pokémon made the rounds in June, but these were disproven fairly quickly. This was followed by an alleged leak from E3, where a source claimed they took pictures of art behind closed doors. The images showed a set of pygmy-inspired Pokémon, but due to the art style and the fact they came from 4chan, they were dismissed as fake. In August, a fairly in-depth rumor surfaced. The rumor promised several new Alolan forms for Pokémon, such as Paris and Parasect, Koffing and Weezing, Solrock and Lunatone, as well as Arcanine. These details, along with most other info in the rumor, turned out to be totally inaccurate. This rumor was followed by fake art for 3 new Pokémon: a fighting lobster, a haunted snowman, and a Pokémon that was an evolution of a previous fake which was yet to be debunked. Another leak showed a manga panel for Rowlet's evolution, but this was also fake. When Rock Ruff was revealed in Korokoro, the magazine showed the Pokémon's two evolution paths. The magazine also said the starting Pokémon would also have a secret. Because of the context of the statement, fans assumed Sun and Moon starters also had two final forms for each Pokémon. However, this was a misunderstanding fueled by a few mistranslations, and clearly not the case. The weeks leading up to Sun and Moon's release saw lots of rumors about Alolan forms. Two back-to-back rumors popped up on 2chan, claiming Korokoro would reveal a fighting-type Alolan Ekans and Arbok, as well as an Alolan Electric-slash-Fairy Electabuzz, and a Fire-slash-Grass Magmar. When Korokoro released, these Pokémon were nowhere to be seen. A post also popped up on 4chan showing images of an Alolan Cubone, Persian, and Mantine. Although an Alolan Persian appeared in the final game, all the images shown were fake. This was followed by an Alolan Jigglypuff, which, unsurprisingly, was also fake. On the same day Pokémon Sun and Moon launched, Eurogamer reported on a new game called Pokémon Stars for the Nintendo Switch. Stars would be an expanded version of Sun and Moon, similar to games like Pokémon Emerald, and was said to be in development at the same time as Sun and Moon. Despite being on different systems, Stars would feature 3DS connectivity so Pokémon could be traded between versions. The game was scheduled for release in mid to late 2017, but the project never materialized. In a follow-up article, Eurogamer explained that Pokémon Stars had been cancelled due to Nintendo's desire to support the 3DS. The early success of the Switch meant they didn't need a Pokémon game to push sales, so work done on Stars was rolled into Ultra Sun and Moon. While many claim to have seen behind-the-scenes evidence, it's hard to say whether Pokémon Stars was ever a real game in development, or to what extent it was actually developed. In April 2017, Azuraland.com claimed Pokémon Stars would have a holiday 2017 release and feature over 20 new Alolan forms including Dragonair, Dodrio, Jinx, and Alakazam. They also said Stars had a new story featuring Necrozma. On the same day, Brazilian fan site Pokemothim.net also reported on Stars. They claimed Stars was set 5 years after Sun and Moon, and that gyms would make a return, as would the Sevi Islands. However, both of these updates were April Fool's jokes. After Ultra Sun and Moon were announced, hopes of Pokémon Stars were squashed. This didn't stop rumors about new Pokémon, however. In October 2017, a popular rumor spread stating several Alolan forms would be added to Ultra Sun and Moon. These were Alolan Oddish, Gloom, and Vileplume, which would be poison-slash-fairy type, and an Alolan Parasect that was a bug-slash-ghost type. These rumors lined up with another rumor that claimed Team Rocket would return to Pokémon. When screenshots of Team Rocket in Ultra Sun and Moon popped up, the rumored Alolan forms seemed more legitimate. However, when the games released, there were no new Alolan forms. By late 2017, new Pokémon games had been confirmed for the Nintendo Switch. Not much was known, however, leading to speculation and rumors. One prominent rumor came from a Chinese source which had predicted Team Rainbow Rocket being in Ultra Sun and Moon. The source claimed Chinese localizers had finished translating the game's script. The game would also have no new Mega Evolutions, but Z-moves would return and be activated by motion controls. The plot would focus on a conflict between tradition and innovation, and be in a region inspired by Spain or Italy. The game would release in late 2018 or early 2019, and have a simplified battle system similar to the Digimon World games. Although this rumor got some details correct, it's clear the source didn't know the new games were Gen 1 remakes. More rumors detailing new Pokémon soon followed. Images from a Chinese message board spread across social media depicting three new Pokémon. These were allegedly starters from the upcoming Pokémon game for Switch. The Japanese text around the images seemed machine-translated, however, casting doubt on them. A month later, another set of starters surfaced. The images were very convincing, and the Japanese text around the art was natural and accurate. The next day, however, the person who made the art came forward in a Facebook post. Another rumor hit at the same time, and was more cryptic than usual. The rumor was that the next set of starters would have something to do with the hero from Dragon Quest VIII, a Labyrinth, and Sha Wu Jing from Journey to the West. However, all these rumors would be confirmed as fake when Nintendo announced Pokémon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee as the next Pokémon games for Switch a few weeks later. In March 2018, rumors of a new Eeveelutions came up once again. In the first trailer for Pokémon the movie, The Power of Us, a trainer holds her Pokéball up to the sky. The trainer's Pokémon was later revealed to be an Eevee, which led to speculation about what the scene meant. Some fans assumed a flying Eevee would be revealed. Shortly after, merchandise for the film was marketed with blocked-out spaces, presumably covering a yet-to-be-revealed Pokémon. However, no new Eevee form appeared in the movie. In May, two popular rumors emerged on 4chan. The first rumor said the Let's Go games weren't remakes and took place in a completely new Kanto. It also said there'd be new Pokémon and new forms for non-Kanto Pokémon. Pikachu and Eevee were said to have new evolutions. Pikachu could evolve into Gorochu, and Eevee would get a normal-type evolution. The rumor also said catching Pokémon would be like it was in past games, all of which were false. The second rumor stated the games took place in Kanto and elsewhere, and that Kanto would be completely different. The region was apparently broken into pieces of island by a catastrophe. The games also had new Pokémon, including a snake legendary connected to the Kanto disaster. Catching Pokémon would apparently be harder, and not very similar to Pokémon Go. The game would also have the original Kanto starters, with Eevee or Pikachu given as a gift later. The evil team in the game wouldn't be Team Rocket, and version differences would be the biggest the series had ever seen. The rumor finished off by saying Diamond and Pearl remakes were in the works for 2020. This rumor gained popularity due to a previous rumor that came with a logo and name leak. However, the post got many details wrong. In July 2018, PokeShopper.com's Twitter account announced a new set of official merchandise showing all 9 evolutions plus a mysterious 10th charm. Fans believed this extra charm would be an extra Eevee form which would possibly appear in the Let's Go games. Weeks later, however, this 10th charm was revealed to just be Pikachu and Eevee together. Another Eevee rumor popped up soon after. A promotional video from 7net Shopping showed a steel case pre-order bonus for the Let's Go games. The case's art showed elements relating to Eevee's various evolutions. Some fans believed the dark crystals at the bottom of the case didn't match up with any of Eevee's evolved forms, and wondered if a new Pokémon would be announced. However, this crystal was there to represent Glaceon's ice typing, and was likely made gray to stand out against all the blue and purple already in the image. Another rumor just before Let's Go's release stated each game would have a different champion, red for Pikachu and blue for Eevee. A new small pink whale Pokémon could be received by connecting to Pokémon Go, and players could be other trainers like Sabrina in the online hub by beating them in the campaign. Upon release, this was proven false. Another 4chan rumor surfaced around this time. The poster claimed to have images of Meltan's evolved form, which had never been seen at the time. The quality of the image made the rumor questionable. However, surprisingly, the art resembled Melmetal's actual design when it was revealed. The art is believed to be a lucky guess. In February 2019, a rumor surfaced on 4chan about a new set of games, Pokémon Kingdom Red and Green. These games would look like the original Pokémon concept art and have a new system that makes Pokémon behave in a realistic way. Pokémon would also gain experience slower to make the game longer, and the game would have a large semi-open world covering multiple regions, including the new Chubu region. The poster accurately predicted some elements of a video tweeted out by the official Pokémon Twitter account before it was released, giving some legitimacy to them. However, the actual rumor is entirely unsubstantiated as of right now, and there's more reasons to doubt than believe it. As of the making of this video, Sword and Shield have yet to release, meaning we can't yet confirm or deny several rumors about the game. We've decided to save rumors on Pokémon Sword and Shield for another day, but until then...
Did you know? Sword and Shield weren't originally going to have Pokémon roaming around in the wild. The Galar region was going to have a wild area, sure, but it was just going to be a big empty route. For the first few years of development, it was all random encounters in tall grass. But less than a year before the game's released, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee hit store shelves, and Game Freak saw how much fans loved the overworld Pokémon. According to Sword and Shield's director, Shigeru Omori, they worked extra hard to implement the feature before launch, and had to completely rebalance Galar to get it to work. The final games used a mix of both roaming Pokémon and random encounters. According to Omori, they used both to satisfy fans of the old games as well as newer fans who liked Let's Go. But in a much more practical sense, they went with the dual system approach due to technical challenges. Game Freak didn't know how many Pokémon they could make appear in the overworld all at once, so hiding some in the grass was a development shortcut to squeeze them in before the release deadline. Back in 2016, the Pokémon team knew that the next Nintendo console was going to be a hybrid system codenamed NX, but internally they had doubts about the hardware's future. Pokémon Company CEO Tsunekazu Ishihara said, "I told Nintendo that Switch wouldn't be a success before it went on sale, because I thought in the age of the smartphone, no one would carry around a game console." It wasn't love at first sight for series producer Junichi Masuda either. A few weeks before Sword and Shield's hit store shelves, he said instead of the Switch, Game Freak would have preferred developing for a new DS model. But Ishihara and Masuda eventually realized they were wrong and went all in, determined to take advantage of the Switch's horsepower and make Gen 8 the best Pokémon games yet. Development for Sword and Shield actually started before Sun and Moon were even finished, while Masuda and Omori were on a promotional tour in the United Kingdom. The UK's strength seemed to be a good fit for what they hoped would become the series' strongest entries. According to Omori, in terms of sort of historical industry development, the Industrial Revolution, and also in terms of the modern day, things like sports, the UK is historically quite strong in those aspects as well. So when thinking of the strongest Pokemon games, the UK came to mind as a really suitable area to base it on. Omori traveled around the UK sketching early concepts, like this drawing he made for Galar Pokemon Centers. He jotted down some notes in Japanese, so for your convenience, we've translated all the concept art in this video into English. In older games, NPCs just kinda stood around in Pokemon Centers for no discernible reason. So for Galar, he wanted Pokemon Centers to look like typical UK pubs, which gave people a believable reason for being there all day. Well, that's what Omori said, but Pokemon Centers in the final game didn't end up looking nearly as pub-like as his concept art. Omori also visited Windermere, where he was inspired by the town's atmosphere, countless sheep, and walls of stacked drystone. He drew this sketch that ultimately became Postwick, so we suppose you could say Sword and Shield's hometown was based on Windermere. This other sketch Omori made in the Lake District ended up as Route 2, and while he was there, he heard a legend that catching cotton balls floating in the air could bring good fortune, which was used to create Gossiflor. Later, he took a train through the English countryside and made this art of the lakes and towns he saw in the distance, which served as inspiration for the wild area, as well as the train riding scene at the start of the game. Omori and Masuda later brought on James Turner, an Englishman who happened to be the only non-Japanese member of the Pokemon design team. James got his start in spin-off games like Pokemon Colosseum and Gale of Darkness, then moved up to working on the mainline series starting in Gen 5. He's actually the only person that worked on the Ore region games and the core series. Galar's based on his homeland, so they promoted him all the way to art director. James drafted much more detailed concept art of patchwork farmland, sheep, and English-style homes, which the team used to build the Galar region. He also made this artwork of a stadium TV broadcast. And with that, much of the game's UI was based on the typical flat design you tend to see on sports channels. According to James, only 2 or 3 out of every 10 Pokemon Game Freak drew made it into Pokemon Sword and Shield. In other words, about 300 Pokemon ended up in the trash. He said that so many designs have already been done before, that it's getting more and more difficult to come up with new ideas. As James explained it, it's like trying to park in a really crowded car park or something. You're going this way, there's a car there. You're going that way, there's a car. You're trying to find some unique space. This color scheme has been used before. This animal has been used before. You're trying to find something unique. That's important. That might have been why Sword and Shield, arguably more than any previous generation, had so many Pokemon based on the region itself. In a Japanese interview we translated, Omori said that more so than older games, for Gen 8, they did thorough research on the region's real-life flora, fauna, and culture. An example he gave was how Japanese leeks are small, but in the UK, they're big and chunky, which is how Sirfetch'd was born. He also said they saw a steam engine, then drew up Galarian Weezing. Gigantamax and Dynamax forms were inspired by UK legends about giants, which persist to this day. Likewise, Stonejourner, based on megalith structures like England's Stonehenge, and Gigantamax Duraludon is the UK's tallest skyscraper, the Shard. Corviknight draws from the Black Knight literary trope, and Phalanx form a group of soldiers in Phalanx formation. The Pokédex calls Boltund and Thievul natural enemies, a nod to traditional British fox hunting, and Carcoal is based on a minecart because the Industrial Revolution and coal mining began in Great Britain. A less obvious one is Runrigus, who's clearly based on runestones, which are the rocks that Vikings used as gravestones. The stories of dead Vikings are written all over runestones, and sometimes the image of an animal too. This is why the Pokédex says to never touch Runrigus, or you'll be shown the horrific memories behind the pictures carved into it. It also explains why Runrigus is ground and ghost type. It's a gravestone, after all. Some fans think Gigantamax Meowth is based on the Longcat internet meme, but Game Freak doesn't have a history of making meme Pokemon. Actually, it appears to be a more British-specific reference. During Sword and Shield's development, Omori said he'd been watching a lot of Monty Python, and the Monty Python show, as well as one of the movies, both contain a classic animation where a giant cat with outstretched arms terrorizes a city. Likewise, Cantonian Meowth was based on Japanese culture. According to series creator Satoshi Tajiri, it's a representation of the Japanese proverb, a coin to a cat. That's what Japanese people say when someone's acting like a cat with a coin stuck on its head, unable to appreciate the value it holds, because they're simple-minded. It's basically the Japanese version of pearls before swine. Sword and Shield's big bad legendary Eternatus appears to be based on the Xenomorph Queen from the Alien films. That's really more of a theory of ours than a hard fact, but the case is pretty strong with lots of history behind it. We'll probably never get a solid confirmation from Game Freak, and that's kind of our fault in a way. We've covered a lot of lost Pokemon history, but this time, it sorta got lost because of us. Let me explain. Over the years, James Turner made thousands of tweets, many of them when he only had a few hundred followers. Back in 2019, we went through every tweet he ever made for research purposes to get some behind-the-scenes info on the Pokemon design process. For example, he said Guzzlord is partially based on Aggrajag from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and Vanilluxe was inspired by the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. More importantly though, he said he was a big fan of H.R. Giger, the artist most famous for designing the alien Xenomorph, and that he made Naganadel to look, quote, sleek and alien, and that its original design had legs, just like a Xenomorph. Sounds a lot like Giger's alien, doesn't it? We started quoting James's old tweets, then literally the next day he deleted 96 tweets from his account, including everything we'd just copied. Our quotations got a lot more attention than his original tweets from years earlier, and it seems someone at Game Freak didn't want James sharing this kind of detail, so he purged his account of all behind-the-scenes information. As for Eternatus, it's literally an alien, according to the Pokedex. It's also poison Dragon-type, exactly what a Xenomorph would be if it was a Pokemon. There's a pretty strong resemblance as well. Just look at him. James also draws Xenomorph fan art and posts it online. But like we said, because of the whole tweet purge thing, we don't expect to get solid confirmation from James or anyone else at Game Freak, especially after he denied our request for an interview because of corporate rules. But the alien homages actually go all the way back to Gen 2, long before James became art director. Gligar bears a strong resemblance to a baby Xenomorph, also known as a facehugger. Gligar's beta sprite looked even more like a facehugger, and Gligar's Japanese name, Guraiga, is literally just H.R. Giger's name with an L slapped in. Giger designed the facehugger, Xenomorph, and the Queen, so it all comes full circle. Pokemon designs have been inspired by the Alien franchise for decades, and Eternatus is the ultimate manifestation of that inspiration.
Perfect organism.
Speaking of the perfect organism, here's what Eternatus looked like in Sword and Shield's beta build. Some more interesting James Turner tweets highlighted the theme of the Obstagoon family. Zigzagoon is a zigzag, Linoon's a straight line, and Obstagoon's an obstacle. He was the designer who made all their Galarian forms. When Obstagoon was first revealed, KISS band member Gene Simmons thanked Game Freak for making a Pokemon based on his likeness. He said he was flattered, as his kids have been playing Pokemon for decades. Game Freak never accepted his thanks or acknowledged the inspiration, maybe for the same reason all of those tweets got deleted. But the similarities are definitely striking. And the last Gen 8 design we're going to cover is Galarian Slowking, who, similar to Eternatus, was a continuation of the franchise's earliest designs. In the old magazine we translated from Japan, art director Ken Sugimori says that he likes to add a new Pokemon who's dribbling something in every generation, like Gloom dribbling his saliva in Gen 1, or Cubchoo with his snot in Gen 5. In that same historical vein, Slowking is the dribbler of Galar. Game Freak doubled their team size from about 100 developers working on Sun and Moon to 200 for Sword and Shield. They were working on other games as well, as part of a company initiative called the Gear Project. We talked about the Gear Project more in depth in our Pokemon Z video, but just to sum it up, the Gear Project was the studio's plan to make another hit series that would be just as successful as Pokemon. According to one of Game Freak's directors, Masayuki Onoe, there are two different production teams here, simply named Production Team 1 and Production Team 2. Team 1 is fully dedicated to the Gear Project, while Team 2 is for the Pokemon operation. What that means is that Game Freak as a company is prioritizing Gear Project, which is Production Team number 1, more than Pokemon in general. With the Gear Project, we're targeting PS4, Xbox One, and PC. One of these games was an RPG called Little Town Hero, which released a month before Sword and Shield, but got pretty low review scores and didn't sell well. Another game they briefly started but never finished was Project Tezu, a sort of stylized retro mech side-scroller. James Turner tweeted out this gameplay footage, but just like all those other tweets, the footage later got deleted. Fortunately, we've already downloaded it. Some fans said Game Freak shouldn't have been making other games and instead focus 100% on just Pokemon. Many were disappointed with Sword and Shield's animations, that less than half the series Pokemon made it into Sword and Shield, and the supposedly Nintendo 64 tree textures. A vocal minority promised to boycott, and that wasn't exclusive to the West. Japanese fans were mad too. One story that sticks out is when a Japanese fan said Bayleaf was their favorite Pokemon and she couldn't wait to see it in Galar. Junichi Masuda retweeted her, saying thank you. Thing was, Bayleaf wasn't actually in Sword and Shield. It was one of the Pokemon who didn't make the cut. Masuda got swamped with hundreds of replies calling him heartless, a scammer, and a psychopath. He later said those kinds of interactions with fans got him pretty bummed. But after all the Twitter criticism and boycotts, Masuda felt a lot better when Sword and Shield ended up selling almost twice as many copies as previous generations. As of this video's publication, they're still the best-selling Pokemon games for the Switch.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.